Chapter 2.
Cassie, you better watch yourself, girl, Big Ma cautioned, putting one rough, large hand against my back to make sure I didn't fall. I looked down at my grandmother from midway up one of the wooden poles Papa had set out to mark the length of the cotton field. Big Ma was Papa's mother, and like him, she was tall and strongly built. Her clear, smooth skin was the color of a pecan shell.
Oh, Big Ma, I ain't gonna fall, I scoffed, then climbed onto the next strong spike and reached for a fibrous puff at the top of a tall cotton stalk.
You sure better not fall, girl, grumbled Big Ma. Sometimes I wish we had more low cotton like down round Vicksburg. I don't like y'all children climbing them things.
She looked around, her hand on her hip. Christopher John and Little Man, further down the field, balanced skillfully on lower spikes of their own poles, plucking the last of the cotton. But Stacy, too heavy now to climb the poles, was forced to remain on the ground. Big Ma eyed us all again. Then, with a burlap bag slung across her right shoulder and dangling at the left side of her waist, she moved down the road toward Mama.
Mary, child? I think with what we picked today, we ought to have ourselves another bale.
Mama was stooped over a low cotton branch. She stuffed one last puff into her bag and straightened. She was tawny-colored, thin and sinewy, with delicate features and a strong-jawed face. And though almost as tall as Big Ma, she seemed somewhat dwarfed beside her.
I expect you're right, Mama, she said. Come Monday. We'd better haul it up to the Granger place and have it ginned. Then we can... Cassie? What's the matter?
I didn't answer Mama. I had moved to the very top of my pole and could now see above the field to the road where two figures, one much taller than the other, were walking briskly. As the men rounded a curve in the road, they became more distinct. There was in the easy, fluid gait of the shorter man a familiarity that made me gasp. I squinted, shadowing my eyes from the sun, then slipped like lightning down the pole.
Cassie? It's Papa!
David? Mama questioned unbelievingly as Christopher John and Little Man descended eagerly and dashed after Stacy and me toward the barbed wire fence.
Don't y'all go through that fence, Big Ma called after us,
but we pretended not to hear. We held the second and third rows of the prickly wire wide for each other to climb through. Then all four of us sped down the road toward Papa. When Papa saw us, he began running swiftly, easily, like the wind. Little Man, the first to reach him, was swept lightly upward in Papa's strong hands as Christopher John, Stacy, and I crowded around.
Papa, what you doing home? Asked Little Man.
Putting Little Man down, Papa said,
Just had to come home, see about my babies.
He hugged and kissed each of us, then stood back.
Just look at y'all, he said proudly. Ain't y'all something? Can't hardly call y'all babies no more.
He turned.
Mr. Morrison, what you think about these children of mine?
In our excitement, we had taken no notice of the other man standing quietly at the side of the road, but now, gazing upward at the most formidable-looking being we'd ever encountered, we huddled closer to Papa. The man was a human tree in height, towering high above Papa's 6 feet 2 inches. The long trunk of his massive body bulged with muscles, and his skin, of the deepest ebony, was partially scarred upon his face and neck, as if by fire. Deep lifelines were cut into his face, and his hair was splotched with gray, but his eyes were clear and penetrating. I glanced at the boys, and it was obvious to me that they were wondering the same thing as I. Where had such a being come from?
Children, said Papa, meet Mr. L.T. Morrison.
Each of us whispered a faint hello to the giant. Then the six of us started up the road toward home. Before we reached the house, Mama and Big Ma met us. When Papa saw Mama, his square, high-cheekboned face opened to a wide smile, and lifting Mama with spirited gusto, He swung her around twice before setting her down and kissing her.
David, is something the matter? She asked.
Papa laughed. Something gotta be wrong, woman, for me to come see about you?
You got my letter.
He nodded, then hugged and kissed Big Ma before introducing them both to Mr. Morrison. When we reached the house, we climbed the long, sloping lawn to the porch and went into Mama and Papa's room, which also served as the living area. Mama offered Mr. Morrison Grandpa Logan's chair, a cushioned oak rocker skillfully crafted by Grandpa himself. But Mr. Morrison did not sit down immediately. Instead, he stood gazing at the room. It was a warm, comfortable room of doors and wood and pictures. From it, a person could reach the front or the side porch, the kitchen, and the two other bedrooms. The walls were made of smooth oak, and on them hung gigantic photographs of Grandpa and Big Ma, Papa and Uncle Hammer when they were boys, Papa's two eldest brothers, who were now dead, and pictures of Mama's family. The furniture, a mixture of Logan-crafted walnut and oak, included a walnut bed whose ornate headboard rose halfway up the wall toward the high ceiling, a grand chiffonier with a floor-length mirror, a large roll-top desk which had once been Grandpa's but now belonged to Mama, and the four oak chairs, two of them rockers, which Grandpa had made for Big Ma as a wedding present.